Welcome to MCC Detroit on the web at mccdetroit.org. And now, here's this week's message.
The reading today is from Jeremiah 29, 4 through 13. This is what the God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children, then find spouses for them, so you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to God for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not seen them, says God. This is what God says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans of good and not for disaster. Yes, yes. To give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me.
The next reading is 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, 2 through 10. David rose to his feet and said, "My brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the ark of the God's covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it, but God said to me, 'You must not build a temple to honor my name. You are a warrior and have shed much blood. Yet the God of Israel has chosen me from among all my father's family to be king over Israel forever. For God has chosen the tribe of Judah to rule, and from among the families of Judah, my father's family, and from among my father's sons, God was pleased to make me king over all Israel. And from among my sons, for God has given me many, chose Solomon to succeed me on the throne of Israel and to rule over God's kingdom. God said to me, 'Your son Solomon will build my temple and its courtyards, for I have chosen him as my child, and I will be his parent. And if he continues to obey my commands and regulations as he does now, I will make his kingdom last forever.' So now, with God as our witness and in the sight of all Israel, God's assembly, I give you this charge. Be careful to obey all the commands of God, so that you may continue to possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve God with your whole heart and a willing mind. For God sees every heart, and he knows every plan and thought. If you seek God, you will find God. But if you forsake God, you will be rejected forever. So take this seriously. God has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work."
We're so very grateful to have you here. And when we're thinking about this word legacy, what is left behind through the actions of a lifetime, how many of us really take the time to think about what we do on a daily basis? Here we are celebrating this weekend of Labor Day. Many of us have been in careers for quite some time. Some of us are still looking for work. Some of us are looking for our career. We're in our job. We have a job right now, but we're not in our career. So when we think about the work that we are involved in, all of us want to be a part of work that is meaningful, that really does change lives and make a difference. I believe that's something that's really in our spirit about simply just, I don't just want to just be and exist. I really want to make a change. So this word legacy really does have an impact upon us. And again, I ask the question, how many of us really take the time to think about what we do and what we say, the actions that we, how we have with other people? Because those actions and those words, those careers that we find, that makes up our legacy. And when you think about that word, normally you think about, well, a legacy happens once you die. You talk about someone who is already deceased and what kind of legacy did she or he leave behind? But legacy really is about today. It's about the choices we make and thus the impact we have upon other people. Often when we think of legacy, we think about something in a positive connotation, that it's something that we have done that has made a positive impact. But a legacy also can be negative. That someone could have a negative, have made a negative impact upon our lives, and we are living with that legacy even today. So take a thought right now. Think back. Who are those people in your life who have made a positive impact that you are living from the benefit of their investment in your life? On the flip side of that coin, what are those people in your life that have had not so positive impact upon your life, but again, you're still living with the impact or the effects of their neglect or their wrong decisions? So when you think about that, again, this word legacy is crucially important, because oftentimes we like to live for today, live for ourselves, but our actions really do have impact upon the lives of others. And so the question that I would like to pose to you today, what legacy are you leaving in the lives of others? Would you bow your hearts with me? We love you and we say thank you again for this weekend in particular. Many of us are off from work, or even if we do have to go to work, that it's a time of still stopping and reflecting, catching our breath, to get to the place where we can recharge our battery to begin the work of a new season, of the fall that is just around the corner. God, I pray that we won't let this weekend simply pass without us doing this deep introspection on how am I doing, where am I going, and what impact am I making? We look towards you and we pray that as a result of being here in this sanctuary today, that we will be open to all that you have for us. And it's in your blessed name, Christ, we pray. Amen. So upon yesterday was the funeral services for our beloved Reverend Dolores Berry. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with Reverend Berry, she was a phenomenal individual. They had the service at MCC DC yesterday, and it was live streamed, and I'm sure many of you, like myself, watched, and you saw person after person after person. There was no one sermon, but there were at least 15 different people, and no exaggeration, who gave a message about her life. What makes her so special? What makes her so special is because she was a phenomenal gospel recording artist. In fact, I was more attracted to her. And that's, I mean, in terms of MCC, I didn't really know MCC. I wasn't aware of MCC. But I was attracted to her message because she made no bones that, yes, I'm a gospel singer, and yes, I'm an out proud lesbian, and I'm going to sing praises unto God. And at that time, when I first heard it, I was still dealing with my own self. I'm like, whoa, who is this individual? So that's why I first heard of Dolores Berry through her recordings. Then come to find out that she was a pastor, a preacher, and an evangelist within the Metropolitan Community Churches. MCC, we really don't have a whole lot of evangelists, meaning people who go out to carry the good news message. That's kind of not our thing, but that was her thing, where she felt a very strong call to go out and let people know God loves you, yes, even you. No matter who you are, how you identify, where you've been, God's love is for you. And she sang it, she preached it, but then another way she did it was through prophecy. Reverend Dolores Berry was a prophet in the true sense of that word. Because sometimes you can say, oh, well, Rev Deb, she's a prophet because she preaches the word. Not like Dolores Berry, not like myself. Literally, and many of you in this room know, that she literally had a gift of like clairvoyancy. And that, those are the words of our former moderator, Nancy Wilson, talked about her clairvoyancy. She's been in this sanctuary, and she's preached, she sang, and then she's invited people to come forward for prayer. And as she would pray for you, she literally would give you a word of prophecy for your life. I know many of you are like, what? Really? Come on. Unless you were there, unless you saw it. I mean, it's just like one of these things, you have to be there. And for those of you who have heard a word from her, you then will go to her afterwards like, how did you know? How did you know that? And what would her be what would her response be? Does anybody remember? She's like, I don't know. I don't know. She would laugh, and she's like, I don't even know what I said. What, baby? I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, oh, God just speaks to me, and I just say, so whatever you received, it was for you. What God has for you is for you. Literally, she would do this. A phenomenal woman. So as I mentioned, Nancy Wilson and many other greats from our denomination got up to testify and give a message about her. But one of the things that they would say, particularly Nancy, she said this, that although she had this gift of clairvoyancy, boy, was she a piece of work. She was a piece of work. And then another elder got up and talked about, it's like, and if you've ever hosted her in your house, God bless you. Because she would literally take over your house or your apartment and just have her stuff sprung everywhere. Or if you took her to dinner, she would order something and invariably send it back all the time. And then another woman who came up, she wasn't an elder, but she was a very, very dear friend and lived in the same area with her, says something very revealing that I would like to share with you. She said, Reverend Dolores Berry lived with great insecurities. She really did not believe people liked her. And she lived with that. But when you see this funeral and all who came, and you think of all the people who she's ministered to through song, through word, through prophecy, you cherished her. You loved her. You couldn't help but to love her and to cherish her. And so despite her insecurities and despite all her greatness, that, I believe, is not the reason why Dolores Berry was so great and why she left such a wonderful legacy. Because if you've ever spent time with her, you would know this was a woman who was open. She was open to God. She talked with God. She walked with God. She feasted with God. She was open to God. And when she got to this place where she recognized who she was in God, it really didn't matter what people thought or said, because she then kind of, in a sense, went into a zone. And she acted not in her own strength, but in God's strength. And that is the reason why she made such a tremendous impact, because it wasn't her. She became a vessel. She became a vessel in which the living God spoke to and through the lives of others. You know, I think and I remember about other people who have gone on. And I'm going to mention a name of somebody that was very quirky amongst us. And it wasn't until he died that I realized, like, man, I really miss him. And that's Steve Johnson. Steve Johnson, for those who have been with us for a while, used to sit over here in this area. And whenever the music ministry began, the church went swaying one way and he would swing the other way. And people would clap on the beat and he would be on the opposite. And he would just say just the most inappropriate things at the wrong time. And there were often times I'm like, Steve, end scene. Stop. But rubber stop. The reason why I believe, I didn't realize how much he made a difference in my life is because Steve was a man who truly had a heart for God. Again, for those of you who really knew him, you knew of his testimony. And he lived a lot of struggles, both physically and emotionally. He lived with a lot of struggles. But this was a man who, again, you would talk to him. He knew God. He had a deep, abiding faith in his God. And he truly, when they talk about a man after God's own heart, that was Steve Johnson. And again, when you think about it, he can see it now. That's my theology. He sees it now. He's gone on to his next home. And I think it's only then that sometimes we only realize the impact we have on other people. And he did. He had left a really great imprint on the lives of so many people that I don't think he realized when he was still living here. This morning we're talking about another man who had a heart after God. And when you think of that, many of you may have heard that phrase before, a man after God's own heart. That came from David in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures. David was a person who was very complex, very much like Dolores Berry, had both a lot of quirkinesses and just like, you know, that again, he was a liar. He was could be very violent. In fact, he talked about how much blood he shed. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But also, this man was of great courage. He was a faithful friend, and he was a king and a leader. But even with all of David's faults and all of his successes, that doesn't make him a great individual, because there's a lot of people from antiquity onto today who are complex like this. Each and every one of us, we're complex. But what made David a great individual, one that we still know, even if you don't go to church, even if you've not been in church, you probably have heard of the name King David. Because he had made such a lasting imprint upon the lives of others. But isn't that fantasy? Isn't that just, you know, a fairy tale about King David and the whole thing of, you know, David and Goliath and everything else? Regardless of whatever your theology is on who he is, this is still a man that people reference today. And the reason why is because he was open to God. And we have example after example after example in Scripture of how he did that. Even in times when he knew he was wrong, he knew he was in the wrong, that when he was confronted with his sin and his downfalls. That he knew that, you know, I have to stop living for myself and I need to humble myself because it is because God is the reason why I'm here. And you have, again, example of David doing that. In the scripture that was read today, this was, in a sense, one of his final speeches. He was king, he was successful, and he had a desire to build a temple for the people of God, very much a place to worship in. And he knew, because he talked to God, God said, not you, David, because you are a man of violence and blood. You've killed too many people, and I don't want your hands creating this temple. But I want you to pass this on to your son. So David is giving this speech. He's giving it to the people of Israel. He's gathered them together, and he's telling them that finally, the time has come. God has given us the green light to move forward, to build this temple, and I have selected a son of mine. I have many sons, but I've selected one that God has chosen, and that is my son Solomon. He goes back and he says, God, remember Israel, God chose you. You are God's chosen people. Then God chose the tribe of Judah, which I'm a part of. Then God chose my family. Then God chose me among all of my brothers to be the one who sits on the throne. And I tell you this, Israel, is because God doesn't make mistakes. That this was God's plan all along. And it is God's plan that Solomon built this temple. Now Solomon, he turns to his son, says, follow your God. Make sure that you are open to your God. Because if you do not, these promises of God's presence with you will leave. So be sure, my son, be open to God. Solomon took that to heart. And when he was asked by a prophet, ask God of anything. What do you desire? Do you desire riches? Do you desire women? Do you desire, notoriety? Solomon said, I pray for wisdom. I want wisdom above all. And the prophet said, because you selected that, and that pleases God, God's going to give you all these other things you did not ask for. The wealth, the women, and the notoriety. And the reason why I say the thing about the women is because if you know anything about the story of Solomon, many of you know about the wisdom of Solomon, but Solomon doesn't have the same legacy like his father David did. Again, if you've been in Sunday school, if you've been in church, like, yeah, I've heard of Solomon, but I don't know much about him. And I think the reason why is because Solomon, in the end of his life, got corrupted. He allowed many of his wives and concubines who had no heart for God to turn his heart away. And at the end of his life, he became a person who had forgotten what his father David had said to him. So in other words, God didn't make a mistake. It was Solomon. And at the beginning of his life, he created wonderful, beautiful things that have lasting power. However, he didn't end his life that way. And he fizzled. And if I were to ask you today, who was Solomon's son? I'm sure many of you are like, I don't know. Because of the decisions that Solomon did and that Solomon did not pass on the same words that his father David gave to him, he didn't pass that on to his son, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam had no heart for God. And when he became king, when he sat on the throne, God stripped and split the kingdom. And so Israel was at a civil war with itself for centuries, for centuries. Then we come to another place that the prophet Jeremiah says to the nation of Israel. This is now centuries after David, centuries after Solomon, centuries after Rehoboam. And the nation of Israel had been put into captivity. They were made slaves yet again. We know about how they were slaves in Egypt. They were made to be slaves yet again. Why? Because scripture tells us is that they had gone so far away from God. God was just like any other God. This rock, this stone, this tree, this pole. Pick one, anyone. It doesn't matter. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. But God also made a promise to David that you will always have someone who sits on the throne forever. You will always have someone who will sit on the throne. And this portion of Jeremiah speaks to that. For I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Those are the words given to the Israelites, the nation of Israel, to let them know, although you have forsaken me, I have never forsaken you. And I'm offering you, people of God, yet again, an olive branch. Will you accept my offer to return? Will you accept my offer to open your heart to me? Will you come and be my people and allow me to be your God? If you will do that, what I uttered to David, and if you want to go back, what I said to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of those promises will belong to you. And that is the word for us, even here. Today. Do we believe God? Do we trust God enough to say, I want to be open to you? But Pastor, what does that even mean? What does being open to God even mean? What are you even saying? This is what I'm saying. That each and every day you wake up and you have breath in your lungs, you are given a choice. Whether you are able to physically get out of your bed or whether you are in a sick bed and you're not able to move. You are given a choice each and every day. And it's the same choice that David gave to his son Solomon. Follow your God. You have a choice. Will you live for yourself? Or will you be open to your God? And if you're open to your God, then God's promises then will belong to you. See, these are ancient words that are not just fantasy, that is not fiction. These are true bedrock solid words we can build our lives upon. For I know the plans that I have for you. Israel? Well, yes. David? Yes. But no, you here today. And there are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Simply by being open to God. As we look at MCC Detroit, and going back to that slide, which I won't go back to at the top of the hour, but it should be on your bulletin. All the various locations that we have been. You think about all the lives that have been impacted by this ministry. People who have come and sought us out when they had no hope, when they were at the end of their rope, when they had been excluded and kicked out, or they just simply never knew who God was, but they found that a God loved everyone, all people, no matter who you are, how you identify. Wow, is that who God is? Because that's not the God that I heard before. I heard God had favorites. I heard God only preferred certain people, but excluded other people. You mean to tell me that God loves all? And that is the message that has been conveyed through this ministry over these past 45 years. Next year in 2019, our denomination, the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, we're going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary. And if you think about, particularly those of you who are veterans of this movement called MCC, you know there have been so many congregations that have come and have gone. Even here in this area, ministries that have been birthed and they have their life cycle and now they're closed. Now we can shed a tear for them or say tisk tisk, but just like any one of us, we have our own life cycle. We're birthed, we live, and then we transition. Many of those ministries as well, imagine the countless lives that have been impacted even by those ministries. So we count it as no small thing that there was an MCC here or there, but it no longer exists. But the fact that we at MCC Detroit, we are here. We have a renewed sense of strength and purpose. What that says to us is that we got work to do. God's not finished with us. God wants to do something miraculous in our lives so then other people can be impacted. In other words, what's our legacy? And our legacy begins today. It's right now. It's not after we have shut our doors and MCC Detroit is no more. And then you talk about our legacy. No. It's also about what we are in putting into the lives of others now, here, today. When you think about all the people who have been in these pews, in these seats, who are no longer here, and you think about the impact they've had on your life, we cherish them. We love them. We miss them. And we have to say to ourselves, well, gee, what will people say about me when I'm gone? And it's not about an ego type of thing that, well, when I die, I want to have the biggest and, you know, most beautiful funeral and, you know, lilies, you know, sprayed everywhere. And, you know, people just come out there just sobbing because they're gone and they're beating the casket because I'm gone. No, no, no. That's not why you want to have a good legacy, because you want to be remembered. In fact, if that is your attitude, then you're not open. Your purse is not open, because the reason why you're not open is because you're too full of yourself. Full of ego. And me and mine and I. And the reason why someone like Dolores Berry or even a King David, as complicated as they were, can still be seen as a positive legacy is because they were open. They let go of ego and they let go of trying to have it their way and to lean on their understanding. They were open to their God. And that is the message for us today. I am here to tell you. The reason why we have selected this is our key scripture as we continue to move forward. And next week, hopefully, there's going to be a new banner that's going to be up here. This one will come down and a new one will rise up. And you're going to see this passage of scripture to remind us. And wherever God has for us to go, we're going to take it with us. Because we need to know this is our anniversary year of 45. And we're going to continue to talk about our legacy and our influence upon the lives of others. And Rev Deb and myself and Brian and others will be challenging each and every one of us to give us a mirror, if you will. How am I doing? How are you doing? How am I doing? Am I open to God? And so I want to say to you all who are here today, whether this is your first time or you've been a veteran of this ministry, thank you. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for being on this journey with us, because I believe that God has great things in store. We're not done. We're just getting started. And so I do believe that God is challenging us always, every single day when we open our eyes. The first thought we have is to choose yes to God and say, God, I want to be open. In Jesus' name we pray.